Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the many blessings that we have, the opportunities we have to remember the first day of the week and the activities of it, and to be assembled together in this way. We're so thankful for Your being with the church and glorifying Yourself in this way as we serve You from day to day. And as a result, we thank You for the nation in which we live. We pray for it. We pray for those who make decisions about it, that it'll be in keeping with those things that are right and good and helpful to everyone. And the ways of truth and righteousness will prevail for good. We pray for every family of this congregation and all the work that we're doing together. Help us to love each other and care for each other in such a way that we'll all be in heaven together someday. And in regard to our lives, we thank You for the opportunity we have to have doctors in this day and time, and for the surgeries that can be done and the medications and the therapies that can be done in order to help us to recover from illnesses and those things that would hold us back from our day-to-day activities of life. Be with us in every way for our worship service today. May we worship Thee in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Be seated. In preparation for the Lord's Supper, let's turn to number 370. Night with Evan Binion, brooded o'er the veil.
Today is February 23rd, 2020, for taping purposes. If you would, at this time, let's mark our song books at number 710. 710 will be the song of invitation after our lesson this morning. And once you've marked that, let's turn to number 496. 496. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall be
tragic events that takes place in the history of the Bible is found in Genesis chapter 19. In chapter 18 of Genesis, we read where Abraham is asking of the Lord, no doubt thinking about his nephew Lot living over there in Sodom, would he destroy the righteous along with the wicked there? And no doubt he's asking this question when he says, if there were 50 found righteous in Sodom, would you destroy it? And the Lord God of heaven says, no, not for 50's sake. He worked it all the way down to 10. Would you for 10 righteous in Sodom destroy all of it? And of course, with Lot and his wife and his two daughters, there were four of them only that Abraham could find. And of course, when you get to Genesis chapter 19, you read regarding the greatness of this event, how God rained fire and brimstone out of heaven and destroyed all of the cities of that plain. And in Genesis 19 and at verse 26, it is noted that as Lot left out along with his family, it is said that his wife looked back from behind him and she became a pillar of salt. A monument was laid out of heaven for her to be here on earth as a representative of someone who disobeyed what God has said. For the angels of the Lord had come to visit at Lot's household. These two, as men, came there. Wonderful powers they had. But they were desired of those who were of Sodom, homosexual in their ways, to come out that we may visit with them. And of course, they created blindness on the part of those who were at the immediate part of the door. And all the others along the way were unable to do the strength of their labors. And thus, there was then the decision made by God saying, you leave this place. You're not to look back as you go. It will be utterly destroyed. And it was. When we think about Lot's wife and her circumstance, there are questions that come to our mind. Why did she, first off, disobey God? These men had replied what God had said about this. It was been said more than once. Leave out, go into the mountains. You could not look back. Yet she was behind Lot, and she looked back to see the utter destruction going on at Sodom. There have been those that have advanced the idea of why she looked back. They suggest that it's all involved with the ideals of the place in which she lived. But keep in mind, there was only she and her daughters and husband found to be righteous by Abraham's search throughout the city. She had her love and trust in those type of things represented by those who were doing wickedly. The wickedness of this kind of activity on the part of these men of Sodom has made it possible for us to recognize today that there is a wrong being done. The seed of life would not be planted. There would be no future about it. There would be disease and death that would come as a result of this practice. There would be nothing about it for good. Our Lord Jesus talked about how that he referred to the eating of food and the digestion of food as a drought, and coming out in a drought, and how that it was of no benefit at all. And the idea of that being a food product, a strengthening product, when it's nothing but waste from our human bodies, those men made it a way of life. God referred to it as a wickedness that is beyond wickedness. And as a result, he was going to destroy this place as well as Gomorrah. Some think that this is a site of the Salt Sea. They think that the great salt sea that comes at the end of the Jordan River is the lowest of those places on earth. And that there is so much salt that is accumulated there that in fact it is coagulated into asphalt. And in the 1800s there were two times that the earthquakes were taking place in that region, around 1814 and 1834. There were those kind of earthquakes that upheavals brought up asphalt. And the experiment and studies of that made it to be a salt content that was above measure. And that this is the place and the area in which she now became a pillar of salt. Why did she look back? Did she look back to wickedness? Did she look back to a home that she had And where a righteous man was at the door of the home, a gate, he saw the two men coming and bid them come in rather than to spend the night out on the plain, to come in and to enjoy. And he went inside and baked some bread that was unleavened bread, it was called. And they were able to eat and have a wonderful occasion on that time. He was a righteous, very righteous man. Was she looking back to the place that he had built? No doubt he had built it right. No doubt he had built it well. No doubt he was thoughtful of that and the memories that she had of that place and that plain. But all those things, keep in mind, were earthly things. Our Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 24 in the New Testament of our Bible refers to a time in which Jerusalem would find itself being destroyed, and the temple there would be utterly cast down, one stone at a time. In this particular passage of Matthew 24, Jesus cites in regard to their ways of life that they would live and how that they were to recognize these days as they would come, and how that they would pray that they be leaving that place and it not be in the winter time. Going into the mountains in the winter time would be the snows and the ice that would be there, and the problems of travel would be there and all that's associated with that we know. But he also says in regard to this that they were not to look back themselves. The destruction of the temple, a stone at a time to be taken down, occurred in the days of Titus, who came over there to Jerusalem as an army leader and led them in such a way that there, when that was being done in the city of Jerusalem, he led them in such a way that they found themselves in anguish and terrible ways were being done. And as a result, one stone at a time, this came down. Did they have a love for that old way of worship and that old way of life? Not recognizing God's statement through the prophets of how that this was to be changed. And God would now then, later on, Jeremiah 31, he would write his law within their hearts rather than on tables of stone. They were still using tables of stone in that place of worship. They were finding themselves honoring only the physical ways of life to have the forgiveness of God for a day at a time, a time and occasion, and for a year at a time for the atonement. They were not to look back. They were to gather in the mountains, not in the winter time, and pray that the women not be with children during that time. Newborns. The bripas of children at that time would be the little children that would need to be nursed and cared for. And there would be a crying of them, and there would be a need for them, and there would be armies that would be coming up. And no doubt they would have been hurt and harmed if that had been the case. And he urged them not to look back and not to have that, and to pray that it not be in the winter time, and pray that women not be with little children during that time. In Luke chapter 17, we have Jesus talking about events that will take place and how that at the coming of our Lord, it would be the case where they would be people who were ready for his coming, but they would be doing it in a day that they didn't think about it. They would be working out in the field. There would be a man on his housetop. Flat tops of houses at that time were very prevalent, we're told by the historians. Perhaps mending something, keeping rain from coming on in, as it would settle there on the rooftop, and maybe the wood would be replaced, the tiling would be replaced for that not to happen anymore. But as he was to come down at that time of the Lord's coming, He was not to go in the house and get anything to take with him. The one in the field was to leave the field, not going back and picking up things, but to go on. And in the midst of describing this situation, Luke 17:32, Jesus says, "Remember Lot's wife." It had been thousands of years since that time had passed by. The God of heaven had not forgotten about what happened at that day that he destroyed Sodom, and Lot fled, and his wife looked back and turned to a pillar of salt when Jesus said, "Remember Lot's wife." We raise the question again, what was there about that decision? What was there that compelled her to do this? Was it the fact that she loved the trinkets that were there and the sinful things that they were doing? Hard to believe that that's the case with a righteous man sitting at the door of the house there always and everything, and had a righteous man in his conduct of life. No doubt he would have been talking about the right things of God and the right ways of God. Why would there be a discussion there about anything sinful and wicked and wrong, and exalting it to be a way that's practiced, a way that's traveled, a way that we're to honor? Why would that would be the case? It was just not conceivable that he would have been doing that. The daughters themselves are affected greatly by that place in which they lived, however. After leaving and not looking back, it is obvious that as they obeyed the Lord, they then began to think as the human people would think, that there is not an offspring yet to come. And as a result of that, they sinned with their father. Lot became the father of the Moabites and the father of the Ammonites, who later on would be the cousins who would affect and bother the children of Israel as they traveled through the wilderness and into the promised land. These people would be folks that, if they did not come against them, did not help them, didn't offer to help them at all, did not have given them any comfort whatsoever in their journey. And the Lord blamed them. The Lord called to attention that they didn't have the compassion that he had, and that he taught people to have, and that he wants people to have today. Did she look back for the wickedness that she had herself decided on her own to honor? The Lord leaves it not with the reason why. The Lord leaves it with the idea that she did what he said and his angels had said should not be done. Don't look back. What about our day and time? Are there things about life that are going on that we find ourselves honoring a little bit because they're getting away with it? There are those doing wickedly, but they get away with it. They don't get the diseases. They don't get the death soon. They find themselves victory is seemingly in their minds. And we honor that way. We know that historically in the days of Jesse James and the Youngers, that they were honored by the people. There was a vicious resentment to those who took their lands and put their railroads through them and so forth and so on. And we know that historically that is the case within them, and how that they came and decided that there were some people there among the railroad arts that wanted to get that so much and wanted to get them out of the way so much that they came one night and firebombed the house, and the death of a little one of their brothers was killed, and they set Jesse and his brother Virgil off to the races. There's a time in which people honor something that's not right to do. Was it right to be a thief? Was it right to steal? Was it right to kill? Was it right to do that? Surely we can't think that that was right. When God opposed those ways of death being created, murder, he says, and in the sixth commandment delivered, thou shalt do no murder, was of the Ten Commandments. And our Lord Jesus talked about how hatred is the way of murdering, and that that should not be done. And we remember that it's the wise man Solomon who talked about us using a gentle word rather than grievous words that stir up anger in Proverbs 15 and verse 1. Let's not honor things that are not right of God. Let's check it out and open His Word to see what we should believe and practice. And yet today in time, there's an awful lot of things being honored that are not approved of God. We may find ourselves thinking that the body of Christ is just one among many, and that the religious ways in which people do things is acceptable to God, and He has enough mercy for those who practice worship in any way that they choose to do. Is this what He did to the brethren at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 when they misused the Lord's Supper? Did the Holy Spirit tell Paul, you write this now, you misuse the bread and the fruit of the vine, you're eating and drinking condemnation to your souls? Does that sound like He's saying to them, you go on and do this and you practice this way of life and the grace of God and the wonderful mercy of God will deliver you from it? Does it sound like that when He says, you're eating and drinking condemnation to your souls? In chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, we read beginning at verse 15 how that we're to pray with the Spirit and the understanding also. How we're to sing with the Spirit and the understanding also. We see that in the misuse of their prayers and the misuse of their singing, and then a few verses later, the misuse of the preaching service that's being done, they were to speak with words clearly understood, easily understood, Paul says. Should we honor a way of entertainment and personal views rather than God's way of worship in spirit and in truth? Let us be people who follow His righteous way and do His righteous cause and honor Him as we signed ourselves in prayer and partaking of the Lord's Supper in singing. And in the giving, let us be people who give as Paul was concerned about that on the first day of the week. And let us do it as we from our heart realize the blessings of God have come to our lives. You know, when we think about these sort of things, we're reminded by Jesus Himself. Remember Lot's wife. A monument to a disobedient person would forever there stand. And it was a reminder to them. Read about how Lot found this situation as he went on in life. He did not stop. He did not disobey himself by turning back. He went on. He disobeyed in another way, of course, in getting drunk and being a part of a sinful activity with his two daughters. But in the process of that, he found himself recognizing he had left the righteousness of God in order to practice those ways of life. Consequently, he was one who wanted the forgiveness of God, as a righteous person wants to do. Don't we want to live at peace with God as we live and as we die? Let us be people who do that and honor His right way. Thank you for listening to our study today about Lot's wife. It's a reminder to us throughout all of time, and for us today, to think about the righteous ways to talk, the righteous ways to worship, the righteous ways to serve, as we find our fellow man in times of great need. I'm so grateful to this congregation and grateful for your ways of carrying on of those who have gone before you in the past. But because they wanted to do what was right about God's way, and you too want to do what's right about God's way, we continue to be people who care about people who are in need. And any time there's a terrible crisis underway, we have some good people who have the capabilities of abilities to do it, that we're already there. Almost at the time we recognize that and say a word of prayer, we find that already aid is being extended. There are thousands and thousands of dollars that are there already for that to be used. And as a result of that, they are ready and they're looking forward to helping, knowing that disasters will come and how much help they can be. We're not looking away from being compassionate to others. We as a congregation are looking to opportunity to be compassionate to others. May God continue to bless us in that regard. And thank you for listening and studying today. This song is selected to be an invitation song. I used to have it to Jesus' invitation long before this particular day and cold night. We had the heater on. The baptistry is ready. Would you come today, confess your faith in Christ, be baptized into Him for the remission of your sins, that you may begin to walk a newness of life, as Paul wrote in Romans chapter 6. Come as we stand together and as we sing.
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take my cross and follow me. Where He leads me,
bless you all. Look forward to seeing you this evening. It's our end of the month that we are in, and we are certain to be in January or in the March as we go along here. Just like January came about so fast, it's now March so fast. God bless you all.
Let's turn to number 114.
in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day. We take the emblems of the suffering, the life that was given for us. We thank you, Father, for our health. Pray that those who are mentioned today will continue to improve. Thank you.